Let us look at Hebrews chapter 10. We are dealing with topic, the Christian priesthood, in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25. It is my intention to deal with this topic in four sessions. But for the time that I have at this moment, I may need more than four sessions. These sessions will take me over to next year. Now, the Christian priesthood is a topic that perhaps many people do not understand fully. In fact, I was searching for a picture of the Christian priesthood. So I went to the net, I googled for the title, the Christian priesthood. And what did I get? I get this, the Christian priesthood. And I asked myself, is this the Christian priesthood? Is this what the Bible teaches about Christian priesthood? Where we have got a group of people specially called out to be different from the other members of the church, so that they are known as priests, they are known as high priests, they are known as bishops, they are known as cardinals, they are known as pope, or vary, and then they are addressed in different ways, by your holiness, your rightness, and so on and so on. And you must have a seminary degree in order to be a priest, and you must be ordained. Are all these things, do all these things make up the Christian priesthood? What does the Bible have to teach? And when we look at them and we look at us, what do we find? We find that we don't do all these things. I don't have a special dress. You don't have a special garment. We are dressed in the common way. There's no difference between you and me. And you never address me as a Reverend Ang. Don't address me that, because I'm not that. All right? So, I ask, what is this Christian priesthood? And for the next four sessions, we are going to study Hebrews 10, 19 to 25. Only seven verses in four sessions, which will stretch out to next year. And the first one today, we deal with the character of the Christian priesthood in Hebrews 10, 19 to 20. And we read, keep your Bibles open, because it will be good if you refer to the verses I refer to. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. I'm very sure that not all of you understand this, fully the text of this passage. Still, we are going to deal with this text alone for today, and then next session we shall deal with the character of our high priest. That is, if we have time to complete what we need to do today in Hebrews chapter 10 verse 21. After that, where we read, and having an high priest over the house of God. After that, we shall deal with the conditions of the Christian priesthood in Hebrews chapter 10 verse 22, where we read, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. And finally, we shall end this series with the topic, the commitment of priests, in Hebrews 10, 23 to 25, where we read, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for opening up the way of access into thy presence. And we thank thee that this morning we can enter into thy presence because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who had gone as a forerunner into thy presence to pave the way, the new and living way into thy presence. Lord, we thank thee for this boldness that we can have to enter to thy presence, to speak to thee, and to hear what thou hast to say to us. Speak to us, O Lord, we do pray, in the moments, in the time that lies ahead. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, let us start with the first one. Today we shall only deal with two verses, Hebrews 10, 19 and 20, the Christian priesthood. Hebrews 10, 19 and 20 reads, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh." Would you understand the full significance of this text? It is the keystone for our Christian priesthood. And if you do not understand the keynote of what it tries to portray to us, then we have failed to understand our privilege of our priesthood. So, let us deal with the text in detail. It says there, and starts with, "Having therefore." The word "therefore" suggests to us this is now the conclusion of a discussion that has gone on, based on arguments that have been set out in the previous chapters of Hebrews. So we have to discuss what these chapters will be. For example, chapter 1 to chapter 10, verse 18, that is the verse before verse 19, that whole passage will be dealing with the doctrines of our Christian priesthood. It is a doctrinal assertion proving and illustrating our Christian doctrine on the Christian priesthood. We must know why we behave the way we behave today, as now, dress the way we dress, address each other the way we do so, and so on. This is the foundation that we must deal with. Then chapter 10, verse 19, where our text begins, to the end of Hebrews, we have a practical application or the injunction of Christian duties. Based upon the doctrines discussed earlier, now is our deportment, how we are to behave. Therefore, we see that doctrines and deportment are correlated one with another. We see principles and practice must go together. Unfortunately, in many churches today, people do not like to hear doctrines. People say doctrines are too theoretical, too academic. We do not want to hear all that. We want practical Christian living talks. We want practical Christian living challenges. We want devotional challenges. And as a result, later on, when faced with challenges from opposition, they cannot answer why they do what they do. And the whole series on this Christian priesthood is to help you to understand and to answer why we do what we do, why we are what we are. So, we have already dealt with the context of the book of Hebrews, the whole teaching, is generally the principles, and then followed by the practice. Let's look at chapter 10, 19 to 21 now. The statement of principles. Note the character of the Christian priesthood. "Having therefore boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus." The essence of Christian priesthood is the right of each one of us who is seated here to enter into God's presence to speak to God directly without any intermediary in between, that you and I can approach God directly. "Having therefore boldness to enter into the very holiest by the blood of Jesus. In the olden days, in the Old Testament, the priest, only the high priest, was allowed to enter into the Holy of Holies once a year and with blood shed. The other priests would not be allowed to go in. The other people would not be allowed to come even into the holy place. They would have to stay in the outer court. But now we are to enter into the Holy of Holies, where the presence of God is, without fear, but with every boldness. That's because of the character of a high priest. Because we have an high priest over the house of God, and we shall deal with this high priest and his qualifications next week, hopefully, if we have time, that I finish this study today. Then we know why we have a right to access God's presence face to face, so to speak. Right. Having known why we have this right to enter into the presence of God, because Jesus Christ has already entered and has paved the new way for us to enter, now comes the challenge. Okay, the way has been opened. Go in. We have every boldness to go in. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest, we now should go in. Because the way has been opened up, the way has been paved. We do not have any human barriers in between now. We don't have to go through anybody else. We don't have to go through an intermediary. We do not have to go through a mediatrix. The Lord has paved the way. We go in with all boldness. The conditions of our priesthood. Let us draw near. The commitment of priests, let us hold fast the profession. If we know that we are now priests and can enter into the presence of God, let us go in. If we know that we are priests, let us hold fast to our profession that we are priests. Let us behave like priests. And this is a great challenge to all of us. Let us consider one another, because all of us are priests. No one is above us. No one is below us. All are equal in the sight of God. All have the right to go in. Hence, before we consider therefore, let us consider what is before the therefore. For us to be able to know and to realize our right to enter into the presence of God, therefore, we must know why now we have the right. So we need to consider the before the therefore. What happened before the therefore? We need to study the cases of priesthood that were in existence before Hebrews chapter 10, before Jesus Christ died for us to pave the way into the very presence of God. From the very beginning, God had intended that there should be a kingdom of priests unto him. Exodus 19, 5 to 8. We read in Exodus 19, verse 5. Now, therefore, same word. Therefore, if you obey my voice indeed and keep my commandment, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. You will be a special people unto me. That was God's intention from the very beginning, to choose out unto himself a special people of priests. But obey. You must first obey. And that's the condition. If you will obey, then you will be priests. Obey what? The covenant. Exodus 19, 5 to 8 tells us about God's intention. Then chapter 20 gives us his commandments, the covenant. This is a covenant we shall make between you and me. You obey, I covenant that you can come into my presence. You do not obey, then I will bar you. obey the commandments. And God in Exodus chapter 20 verses 1 to 10 or so gave us the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments. And the first one is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. And thou shalt make no graven image. Alright? And many others. Obey the commandments. Secondly, as we continue down, chapter 21 verses 1 to 23, 33, chapters 21 to 23, we have various ordinances and regarding the behavior of people, relationships with one another. If one did something wrong to the other, what was the judgment? This judgment will come about, that person will be punished. How to be punished? All these were listed down. Alright? Obey what? Obey the order of worship. Chapter 24, verse 1, we read that the people were told, you now have to worship afar off. You cannot come near. You cannot come near. Worship afar off. Alright? How to worship? That is all laid down in chapter 24, right down to the end of Exodus. And that's where the tabernacle was set up to show them how to approach the very presence of God. Now, contrast this. Remember, this was the original purpose of God, that He would call a people out to Himself to be a kingdom of priests, to be a peculiar people unto Himself. If they obey His covenant, His judgments concerning those relationships one with another and how they should be punished, the order of worship, how they should approach Him through the tabernacle study. Now, they fail. Commandments. Soon after, the Lord said, thou shalt have no other God before me. Thou shalt make no graven image on my behalf. Aaron led the people out and built a golden calf and led the people to worship. They broke the commandment so soon after the commandment was given. And they broke many, many rules and judgments. And therefore, that intention to have that original priesthood was discarded. It could not be done. It was annulled. God had to make other plans. Now, would God give up the idea of this priesthood, a royal kingdom, a priest? Would God make up? No. That's where the Christian priesthood would come in. Thousands of years later, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, we read, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Exodus 19:6, God said, if you obey my commandments, if you obey my judgments, if you obey all these and you worship in the way I ordered you to worship, then you will become priests. And you will become a peculiar treasure, a kingdom of priests, and holy nation. Please note the phraseology in Exodus chapter 19 verses. These same words are now used in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. That all of us Christians, you are, not you shall obey, you are a peculiar people. You are a nation of priests. You are a kingdom of priests. You are, you are, you are. No, you should obey and you will be, as in the past. But you are. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ has paved the way into the holiest for us all. Exodus 19:5 reads, now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. The original purpose was, you obey, then you become. Now, the Christian priesthood is, you are. Be what you are. The first one with Moses, it was conditions before status. With Christians, it was status before conditions. You are, be what you are. Before, obey, and you will be what you will be. So you see the difference now. Should we copy the Old Testament priesthood? No, because it has failed. And what men, this is what many Christian groups, denominations, church groups copy, with all their hierarchy and clergy in the church. This is not what it should be. This is not Christian priesthood. All right. Apart from this national priesthood that we have studied, there were other priesthoods to try still to solve this problem and this challenge of setting up a kingdom of priests for God. The national priesthood had been put away because of failure. But for these people to whom God had said, if you obey, you will be priests, God has not given them up yet. Because one day in the millennium, Isaiah 61 verse 6, God says, the people will come around you and the people will acknowledge that you are the priests unto the Lord. And you are the ministers of God. Isaiah 31 verse 6. So what was prophesied, what was given to them, and they feel one day it will be fulfilled for them. But for us, it's already been fulfilled and it is already in our hands. Another priesthood that we need to consider is the Levitical priesthood. After the national priesthood has failed, then God chose out a tribe to be priests. God could not choose the whole nation to be priests. So God chose out a tribe, one of the tribes, the tribe of Levi, to be priests. And that would be a shadow of the Christian priesthood. God has given the nation opportunity to be priests. They failed. So now God was going to teach them how they could accomplish, or how people later could accomplish, and the kingdom of priests that he wanted to set up. And therefore, he set up the Levitical priesthood. And there he was going to teach the people lessons, how to be priests, and what priests were. The Levitical priesthood, therefore, was a shadow of things to come, of the Christian priesthood, a shadow, a type. But it is not the Christian priesthood. And therefore you find that in this shadow priesthood, a tribe of Levi was called out, and there was a high priest, Aaron, and his four sons, Ithamar, Eleazar, Abihu, and Nadab. All these were only to be high priests. The others were not allowed. And then the tribe of Levi, the rest, would be priests. The other people who were not in the tribe of Levi would not be priests. They would be just ordinary people. And so you have the various classes of people, which we see now in many groups and churches. So when what we see in many groups and churches are not the Christian priesthood, it is based upon the Levitical priesthood. And the Levitical priesthood, is it successful? Is it to be emulated? It has an inferior founder. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 9-10. Now this verse is very, very interesting if you care to look at it in your Bible. Hebrews chapter 7 verses 9-10. Now the Levitical priesthood, it has an inferior founder. Why? There is this deference to King Melchizedek. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 9. And we are told that, you know the story, Abraham met Melchizedek. And when he met Melchizedek, he paid tithes to Melchizedek, acknowledging that he was inferior, Melchizedek was superior. And as he gave tithes, please note what the Bible says. Levi, who was in the belly of Abraham, because Levi was not born yet, when Abraham gave tithes, to Melchizedek, acknowledging his superiority and his own inferiority. Actually, Levi, who was still not born in his tummy, Levi was also paying the same tribute as Abraham did. Abraham was doing it on Levi's behalf. Therefore, the Levite tribe priestly system was inferior to Melchizedek. Melchizedek would be the best priesthood. Levi was in Abraham paying tribe to Melchizedek. Indeed, the Levitical priesthood had an inferior founder. And it has an inferior and imperfect foundation based on the law. The law was not able to be kept. It was based on the law. If you keep the law, you will be priest. But they cannot keep the law. The law was there to show their sinfulness. And therefore, they could not keep the law. It was imperfect. With inadequate features. As a result, we find that in the Levitical priesthood, things have to be repeated. Offerings had to be repeated. The atonement day had to be repeated. Year after year, year after year, different offerings had to be repeated. Again and again, again and again, again and again, because of inadequate features. In Hebrews 10:1-4, and the other references I put on the screen. This is for you to see. Now, the next priesthood outside after the Levitical priesthood will be the Melchizedek priesthood. That would be the best. That was not put aside. The national priesthood was put aside. The Levitical priesthood was put aside. The Melchizedek priesthood was above all. And it was to be maintained. And Christ was after the order of the Melchizedek priesthood. And we in Christ are under this new priesthood. What is so superior about the Melchizedek priesthood? In the Levitical priesthood, only the Levites could be priests. All those born in the tribe of Levi could be priests. All those born to King Solomon could be kings. In other words, no priest could be king. Because only those born in the reign of David and Solomon could be kings. Those born under Levi could be priests. No Levi could be king. No king could be Levi. But Melchizedek was a priest-king. He was both a king and a priest. And that's why he's superior. And Christ is of the order of the king-priest. And we are in Christ, we are priests in the Melchizedek order. You see now the superiority of our Christian priesthood. That's why we must know. These are principles, foundations, the basis of our priesthood. As I pointed out, Melchizedek, as we read in Hebrews chapter 7, was the king of Salem, the king of righteousness, a priest of the Most High God. He is both king and priest. The only person ever to be king and priest. And could be. No other person could be. Because you cannot be born of Levi and be born of David at the same time. It's impossible. Now, we come to the high priest. Because the high priest is important. It's the high priest that has gone in, that we, the other priests, could come in. The high priest has paved the way. How has he paved the way? How is the high priest successful? How was the Lord successful in paving the way into the holiest, into the presence of God, so that we could follow in the living way? The obedience of the high priest. Not please his obedience. When the Lord was in heaven, we read in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 to 10, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5 to 10, that God expressed his disappointment in the offerings and the sacrifices. They brought no pleasure to him because they had to be repeated year in and year out. and the blood of the bulls and of sheep and of goats was of no value, eternal value. And therefore, God was very, very disappointed. He said, I take no pleasure in that. As he said those words, the Son, in the presence of the Father, heard this and said, I come, I surrender my body to you. And therefore we read, in the volume of the book, Hebrews 10:7, in the volume of the book it is written of me, I come to do thy will, O God. And so the Lord Jesus Christ came. A body was prepared for him. He must have a body, because if he had no body, he could not die for us. He could not represent us. He could not suffer for us. He must have a body. And so a body was given to the Lord. Not place this offering of obedience. In Hebrews chapter 10 verse 5. If you have your Bible, look at it, because the text is very important and it is very, very easy for you to just pass over and miss out these important things in the text. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared me. A body hast thou prepared me. What is so important about that? Because this is a quotation from the Old Testament. Psalm chapter 40, verses 6 to 8. Psalm chapter 40, verse 6 is the basis for this quotation. Sacrifice and offerings thou wouldst not. And this is what it reads. Sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Oh, it is not an exact quotation. Not an exact quotation. The writer to the Hebrews changed a little bit from the Psalm quotation. The Psalm quotation was, mine ears hast thou opened. But the author to Hebrews said, a body hast thou prepared me. From the body had to change to ears. Why the ears? Now, we read in Exodus 21, 1 to 6, that if a slave was brought in into a Jewish family, then he would have to serve the master for 7 years. After 7 years, he could be set free. And if he refused to go out free, because his master was so good, his master had given him a wife and a family, he did not want to leave the master, he wanted to serve the family for life, then he would have to go to the master, and the master would take him to the doorpost, and with a nail, nail his ear to the doorpost to signify that this man had voluntarily wanted to be an offering to himself, to the master, and to be a slave for the master for life. Voluntarily. And this was what the Lord Jesus Christ did. A body was prepared for him. And he came in order to be our servant. He came to be to serve and not to be served. And he was there dying for us on our behalf, voluntarily. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And that's why you see the little change in words in the quotation from Psalm to Hebrews. The outcome of his obedience, of surrendering his body, surrendering his ears, what is the outcome? Then he said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first that he may establish the second. The Levitical priesthood is taken away because it was a failure. The second comes in to be established, the Christian priesthood, by the which will we are sanctified, by the which will we are sanctified, by this new priesthood, all of us, we are sanctified or consecrated as priests through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. And because he had paved the way, we now are priests. That's the outcome of the of his obedience. The establishment of the Christian priesthood in Hebrews 10 verse 9. And the endowment of Christians as priests. We are now sanctified. Now you see the basis of our Christian priesthood. It is very, very strong. Okay, let's go on. Second part, the constitution of the Christian priesthood. Who are priests in this Christian priesthood. Who can be priests? Brethren. Brethren does not mean brothers only. It is an Old Testament word which means brothers and sisters, as in some of our modern translation. Brothers and sisters, men, women, all are priests. There is no discrimination between male and female. All have the right to enter into God's presence. Men and women, they have equal rights. No discrimination whatsoever. Hebrews 10:19. There is a silence in Scripture about a special priesthood, a special clergy, where these group of people are known as priests and priests only, and the others are not to be priests. And they have special privileges. They have special titles. They have special classes and so on. No, there's no such mention in Scripture of this kind of people. Priests, the word priest is used in the Bible for various groups. For example, it's used of a priest, of a pagan priest. It is used of Jewish priests. It is used of believers. They are all priests. It's used of Christ, the priest. It's used of Melchizedek. All these are priests. All right? There's no special class of priests mentioned. No special class at all. Therefore, there should not be any special group of people here to be priests, to whom all other members must go in order to approach God. There's no such thing in Scripture. The silence and the absence of such a group of people. Now, there are special people gifted by God and by the Spirit, by the Lord Jesus Christ, to serve in the church. But there is no mention of a special group of priests. For example, no mention in the list of special gifts given to the church in Ephesians 4 and 2. In Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, we read, the Lord gave some apostles, some prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. No priest mentioned. No priest mentioned. And even with apostles and prophets, they were the foundation gifts in the early stage of the early church, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. When the foundation has been laid, today there is no need for apostles and prophets. We have the Word of God. And God speaks to us through the Word of God. There is also no mention of this list of people, special gifted priests and so on, in the various offices, so-called, mentioned in the Bible, in the Church of God. We have elders. In the King James Version, we have word bishops. But bishop is not the bishop that we know as a title to somebody with some qualifications. Bishops just means literally overseers, superintendents. That's all. Nothing more, nothing less. No title, entitlement. Deacons, ministers, no priests. No priests mentioned. But we have the presence of the Christian priesthood in Scripture, and they are the ones who are constituted priests. So who are they? First, now we read in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, verse 5, that we are a royal priesthood, a kingdom of priests. Now, in the context of 1 Peter chapter 2, we find that believers are in this group. In 1 Peter chapter 2, those born again, chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. You are born of the Word. They are priests. Those who are babes in Christ, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Lord, they are priests, chapter 2, verse 2. those who believe, chapter 2, verse 7. Those who belong to God, His people, whom He called His people, they are priests. And in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, we read, those who have been washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 5, we find those who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. All these are priests. Without exception, there is no special group. There is no special class. Every single one who is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, washed in the blood of the Lamb, is a priest. Next, all who are brethren of Christ. Now, do you realize that the Lord Jesus Christ calls us brethren? That we are the brothers and sisters of the Lord Jesus Christ? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11. Those who are saved are His brethren. He calls them brethren, and He is not ashamed to own them as brethren. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. Those who are saved, the brethren, those are sanctified, separated by God for His own. Those who are in the church, my brethren, in the midst of the church, He is ashamed, He's not ashamed to call them my brethren. That is what the Lord calls us, brethren. No wonder we call ourselves too, and others call us the brethren. But not brethren with a capital B. It's a brethren with a small b. We are brethren. Not a title for us to hold on to, but a description of our condition according to the constitution of the church for us to be priests. Those who are called partakers of the heavenly calling. So all these are constituted priests. We are priests unto the Lord. Right. The confidence of the Christians priesthood. I think I will finish this here because I may not have time. Hebrews 10:19. We finish with this. Having therefore, brethren, boldness, because we are priests, now comes our duty. The challenge. We have boldness to enter into the presence of God. What is meant by boldness? Boldness is from the word parhesia, from past all races, speech, and therefore put together all speech. We have every right to come into the presence of God with all speech, all confidence, with all speech. We should therefore be praising God. How many of us in Butterworth Gospel Hall have been here for year after year, year after year, have never opened their mouths to praise God? We did. To open our mouths. Thus we enter with open lips to confess our sins and to proclaim the supremacy of our Lord. The bonus. This bonus is objective. Having therefore, is based on facts, not based on a supposition. Based on the argument before, that is the obedience of Christ. His ear offered, His body offered. Based on the blood of Christ, we have a better covenant, we have a better priesthood, we have better promises, we have a better person. Christ is better than Aaron, chapter 5, Joshua, chapter 4, Moses, chapter 3, the angels, chapters 1 and 2. This is the one who has paved the way into the holiest before us. Christ is the one and perfect sacrifice. So the boldness is objective, and not only that, the boldness is positive. Hebrews 9:14. We have been purged your conscience. It is based on feelings. It's not based on feelings, because feelings come up and down. But we must base our boldness to enter the presence of God on facts, not on feelings. Our feelings, sometimes we are down, or we are not worthy to go into the presence of God. We can access God's presence at all times. And It is not based on failures. Well, we have failed, therefore we cannot enter God's presence. No. Confess the sin and come into His presence. There are three sorts of works for us in the New Testament. Wicked works, Colossians 1:21. That is too obvious. We do not have to amplify that. Good works cannot save us, Ephesians 2:10. Dead works are works where we have our feelings and we realize that we are not worthy. And that is not something new to enter into God's presence. Paul himself said, "Oh, woe betide me, who will deliver me from this body of sin? The things that I want to do, I do not. The things which I do not want to do, I do. Oh, miserable man that I am, who can deliver me from this body of sin? Through Christ Jesus our Lord." Get rid of all dead works. So, our boldness is objective. It is based on facts. It is also based on faith. Faith in the entrance of the Lord into the holy places. God, the Lord, has entered into the holy place. Let us have faith that He is there. He is a forerunner. He is there already for us in Hebrews 6:19-20. He is there for us, interceding for us on our behalf. So we need not have to be afraid. He is our fulfillment. He fulfills all that we need for us to be there. He, because He has shed His blood. Any failure on our part, His blood will cleanse us from all sin, and we have the right to enter because of cleansed sin by His blood. Which is His blood is the propitiation for sin, His blood is the provision for service, and His blood is the promise of salvation, sanctification. And with this, I think I will have to end because I have no time. The next week, I'll continue with the consecration of Christian priesthood. We'll leave it there. So we thank the Lord for what we are. Treasure your Christian priesthood. Let's go back in your home. Pray. Go to God. Approach His presence. Speak to Him. Be bold. You do not need another person to speak on your behalf. Go yourself and seek His face. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this free access into Thy presence. We do pray that Thou will encourage us to have boldness to go into Thy presence, to speak to Thee, to praise Thee, to worship Thee. We ask these things, Lord, as we commit ourselves to Thee for the rest of this day, in Christ's precious name. Amen.